So this is a subject that is maybe a little bit contentious today, but mostly it's misunderstood. And some people, like the Seventh-day Adventists, they think the Sabbath is on a Saturday. And they think it's important that you keep it on a Saturday. God bless them. But those sort of disputes, we don't think that because we, and the early church is very clear, the early church met on a Sunday. The early church met on a Sunday for a reason. They knew that God finished his work of creation on the seventh, and we are a new creation. So they decided to meet on the day, what they believe was the first day, which was the resurrection day. So the early church did not meet on a Saturday. They met on a Sunday. And you can see, I don't want to go through all the scriptures because there's a lot to get through tonight, but you can see that if you go through the book of Acts, a lot of times it describes they gathered on the first day, which was Sunday. And this debate, and there was some contention about, I believe Romans 14 speaks about a contention. Doesn't say explicitly it was about the Sabbath, but it speaks about a dispute. Some people were weak about what to eat. Some thought they could eat anything. Some thought they could only vegetables. Let him who eats not despise him who does not eat. And let him who does not eat not judge him who eats. And that goes on to say, he, in verse 6, who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. And he goes on to again speak about eating and not despising those who can't eat. And so the early church, they met on a Sunday, but there was obviously contention. Some people considered the Sabbath, or this day, particularly holy and special. And other people, it seems like they were saying, well, every day is special. And there was some sort of contention over it. I also want to say tonight, because I know there's certain groups that, and some people even in this church have been saying to me, oh, I think the early church just met in the house. And I want to speak how they did met. In Acts chapter 2, you see the early church says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So they met daily. Church was so on fire, they met daily. But they met in the temple and they met in houses, just like we do as a church. We have house fellowship, but we also meet in the temple. And that's why in other parts of the book of Acts, it says when the church comes together. But then in 1 Corinthians 14, it says when the whole church comes together. And so there was obviously smaller groups and there was larger groups. So I want to speak into that because it's got nothing to do with the Sabbath. But sometimes people get a bee in their bonnet and they say, oh, this is how things have got to be. And I've heard so many people say, oh, well, the real church is the house church. Mostly when people just get in small groups and cut themselves off from wider fellowships, you attract a lot of disaffected Christians. And those groups often become critical. We started as a house church, so I'm not against them. But it is not the answer. It's not the solution. When you sort of think that is the solution, it becomes legalistic and you start being against other groups. You don't want to be against other groups. You want to say, well, the Word of God is our guide and we just do what the early church did. That's how we've always functioned. Now, to the Sabbath. To the Sabbath. Like I said, there was contention in the early church about the day, but that's not what's important. What do you notice about the passage that was read out? First of all, just make some observations. What does the word Sabbath mean? Anybody? Rest. Yes, rest. And where does the command to rest come from? Verse 11, Genesis where? Genesis chapter 2 says that God worked, he labored, And he did very, very good work. All his work was good. Then on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested and he admired the work of his hands, that it was complete and it was good. That's what God did. He did no work, but he just, there's a sense that he sat back and he admired his work and said, isn't this wonderful? It was all good, but God rested. So we are commanded, the principle of the Sabbath is all about working. We have to think we work for 5 days, but the scriptures actually command us to work for 6. So they worked for 6. They had no concept of working for 5. They worked for 6, but they said after 6, you're to rest. So every seventh day in the kingdom of God, in God's plan, his purpose, every seventh day is to be a day of rest. And by the way, it didn't specify. Nowhere in the old covenant does it specify which day in which you are to rest. But it's we are commanded to rest. And why did God, if I always say this, if God needs to rest one day a week and you say you don't, you're very special. Why do we need to rest? Why does God say you need to rest? To renew our strength. That's one point. But the Sabbath is linked to creation. When you rest, God has designed us, in his goodness, he's given us this command out of his love, because when we rest, it actually refreshes. You ever heard the word R&R, rest and recreation? When we rest, we actually gain strength again, but we also regenerate that part of us which is able to create, that part of us that's able to problem solve. Rest in the Sabbath is related to creation. So if you don't rest, the thing that suffers in your life is your ability to be creative, to solve problems. You get exhausted, you get tired, and so you need to rest so that you, it's like you get reset. You know the button on the computer, the refresh, the reset? It gets reset spiritually, emotionally, mentally, intellectually. So it's just important, you know, that if you, this is a principle, if you work at a desk all week, you need to have a day where you get away from that and you walk and commune with God, thank him for his blessings and his creation. Maybe if you do heavy labor all week, you need to nap on the lounge. Okay, it's very, very true. It's very, very important that we understand the importance of rest, because so many people today, everything's fallen apart in their life and they're stressed because they do not deliberately rest. We do not deliberately take 1 day in 7 where we rest. And talk about how to rest in a minute, but it's very, very important. Now, so the word Sabbath means to rest. And there's some points I want to make here. First of all, remember, don't forget to rest. That's what that means. Simply don't forget to rest. And then there's some words I want us to put out. Holy. God says to us, rest and to keep the day holy. What do you think the word holy means? Set apart. Set apart. So when God makes something holy, it means to be set apart. Set apart from the world and set apart for God. So he says, the Sabbath, I want it to be, it's a better way I look at it today, I want it to be special. I want it to be distinct from other days. I want it to be a special day to you. Set apart from the other 6 days when you work. I want you to look at it as and treat it as something that is special. It's a special day. 1 day a week you've got to take to rest and actually treat it before God as not a common day, not a day like the rest of the week, but something that is not aimless. It is centered on God. It is a special day. And by the way, it says no cheating. No cheating with your family, your daughters, your servants. No, if you've got a business, no keeping your servants working and then pretending that you're not. It just says actually rest. 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 And then it says, this is really important, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Blessed and hallowed. What happens when God blesses a man? Or a woman? Yeah. Yes. Just they become rich in blessings. You just become, if God blesses you, you become rich in his blessings. That's what it means. And so God is actually saying here, the Sabbath is actually a source of blessings. And he says, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. What does hallowed mean? Yeah, sanctified. He set it apart as a special day and makes that day a source of blessings to us as we revere it, as we treat it as special, as we rest, as we honor him in it. He makes the Sabbath a source of blessings, a great source of blessings. I once went to a conference in America because I had a ministry that was a Christian charity. We just did a lot of fundraising. I went to this conference and there was this guy there over there and his name was Truett Cathy. I think he's dead now because he was about 80, 20 years ago. I think he would be dead. But he had the most amazing testimony. And he was the founder of a burger chain in America called Chick-fil-A. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. They make chicken burgers. Even to this day, it is the most profitable takeaway junk food, whatever you want to call it, franchise in all of America. McDonald's can't come near it. All the big ones, Domino's, they can't come near it. And right at the start, this guy gave his testimony. He said, how have you been so successful? He said, it was like this. He says, I was a Christian. At a young age, God got a hold of me and he said, he spoke to me about rest and the Sabbath. And he said, he went to get his loan from the bankers. And he said, I'm only going to work 6 days. And they said, we won't give you the money. It's impossible. You cannot make the money that your competitors are going to make if you're only going to work 6 days, not seven. Anyway, he prayed to God and asked God to change their hearts. And he went back to them again and said, I want you to just trust me. Just give me a go. So they did. His business went from strength to strength, from blessing to blessing, and nobody could understand it. Nobody could understand why. And he said it was because there's a blessing in the Sabbath. As you honor it, there is God's blessing is in the Sabbath. And I never forget it. It was a very, very powerful talk. And so God basically says, as we hallow the Sabbath, as we treat it as special, as we cease working one day in seven, God actually makes it a place where he releases blessings. Now, when I ask you, what did God do? What did God, let me just backtrack. I was speaking about that Truett Cathy. And he was talking about how the Sabbath is a source of blessings. You know, I say often that the kingdom is upside down, that you humble yourself to be exalted, you die to live, you give to receive in the kingdom. And many people believe that the source to happiness in this day is money. It is getting my career going as fast as it can. That's the route to happiness. And it's an error. Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. Everything will be added to you. It's actually holiness is the key to happiness. Hallowing, setting apart yourself and what God says to set apart. That's the pathway to happiness. not these things that the world says. Now, when we speak about creation, I just mentioned a little bit, but what did God do in creation? He created, worked 6 days, and then what did he do? He did. He admired all the goodness that he had created. All the goodness of his creative work. He actually stood back and admired us, the completeness of it. He rested. And this is what we ought to do on the Sunday, is that we ought to come into church and admire, or whatever day we pick to rest, we ought to be using that, not just as an aimless day, not the day to go to the movies and do sport, but actually to admire the work which God has done. In creation first, but actually it's a day that is hallowed because it's set apart for God and to admire his work. We are created in his image. He worked 6 days and set apart and admired the work of his hands. And so we can get into a little bit more about the extensive work of his hands that he's done, but how that's what we should focus on one day a week, because he is not only the source of all creation, but he is the source of all goodness. And this word says he is the source of all blessings. And as we hallow it, those blessings are released to our life. So the true blessings, God wants you to know that they actually come from him and from being right with him, not from your work. Not from the work of your hands. As important as this, God says labor, but the blessings that you get into your life do not come from the work. That's why the priests were told to wear linen. That was they weren't to sweat. But the true blessings don't come from the labor of your hands. They come from God. That's what we remember on the Sabbath. All the creation, all the goodness, all your health, it all comes from God. And by honoring God and keeping that day holy, that's how the fullness of his blessings get released. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy 5, it's another passage on the Sabbath. There's three passages. And these are the three things which we should focus on. Can someone read verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5? Actually, yeah, read verse 14 and 15. Okay, so what happens to that? There's something added on to there. God adds something on to the passage in Exodus 19. What is added on there? Exodus 20. Yes. What's that speak about? It's speaking how God delivered them in his power. And he's relating the Sabbath to remembering how God brought you out with his mighty hand, his outstretched arm. How he did it, you see it in Exodus 13, 14. The Egyptians were pursuing them and they were being hard pressed. There was a Red Sea in front of them, mountains on either side, and the Israel army was bearing down and they were about to be destroyed. And God and Moses cried out to God at that time, and God said, "The Lord your God will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Verse 13 said, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he accomplished for you this day. For the Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more." So what that's basically saying here is that the Sabbath, we want to pause, we make it holy because we remember what we do. We actually stop and pause and reflect and honor God for his work in creation, but also his work in deliverance. He's delivered us, hasn't he? So it's a time to pause. God delivered us. God did it all. And all that the Israelites had to do was to rest in him, to stand still. And God did it all. God destroyed the Egyptian army. God made a way through the Red Sea where there was no way. So when we rest in God, we cease working, we cease doing our normal work, and we make that day special by hallowing God and remembering the work that he did in creation. We can't do it. And the work that he did in deliverance, you can't deliver yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't deliver you. But God did it all. Now, there's one more passage. Go to Exodus 31. And somebody read verse 13 and 14, please. Exodus 31, with a big voice. Just one. from verse 12. Okay, so it's supposed to be a sign also that, and the Sabbath is here is linked to sanctification. What does sanctification mean? Made holy. And who makes you holy? God. And who does all the work? God does all the work. So when you put those three passages together, you see that God has created, God has saved and delivered, God has sanctified us, and we depend on him. And as we set that day apart, and we don't do normal things, we don't do carnal things, but we actually set it aside where we may go for a walk and we reflect on his creation, or we may look in the Word and we may just study and look for him and realize how he's delivered us and set us free. And we give a day, a week, to remember that we're not making ourselves holy. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's done it all for us. And as we do that and we honor him with that day, he releases his blessings. His blessings are a source of supply that the world can't give you. But he blesses, as the first passage says, he blesses to the degree and that we acknowledge that he is the source of all good. He's the source of all good. Now, everyone says, what about Jesus? Well, we're going to get to Jesus in a second. But before we get to Jesus, we're going to go to Isaiah 58. Because Isaiah 58 is a really powerful passage. And Isaiah 58 is a passage where people are fasting. And God sends Isaiah to rebuke them. Does anyone know why God rebukes them for their fasting? Not that fasting's bad. Yeah, and they're selfish. It says, in fact, in the day of fast, you find pleasure. Exploit all your labors. So they're fasting, and maybe fasting for breakthrough, but it's just everything's just about them. You know, you can be in, I've been in some churches where everyone's, you know, they're so word faithed up. They come in here and I'm going to get my blessing, I'm going to get my blessing, I'm going to get my blessing, but it's just all about me and my blessing, and we're not concerned, we're not looking around about the people around us. It's all just about me and my blessing. But here, that's what people were all about. This all about them. And God says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undergo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you bring into your house the poor who's cast out, when you see the naked, that you cover him. You don't hide yourself from your own flesh. So this is a selfish congregation. These are selfish people. And so they weren't concerned about the oppressed. They weren't concerned about the homeless. They weren't concerned about justice. They weren't bringing people to their own home. They weren't doing any of that. They were just all about their own blessings. And one of the things that was wrong with them, and God says, I want to bless you. Your glory will appear if you do things right. It goes on to say, I'll cause you to ride in verse 14 on the high hills. You shall be the delight yourself in the Lord. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. That's blessing. But verse 13 says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own way, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage Jacob your father had. What do you think is going on there? So they're told to rest and delight themselves in the Lord. That's what you're to do on the Sabbath. You take one day in seven, set it apart as a special day, reflect on what God has done in creation, in deliverance, in sanctifying. Reflect on him. Make it special and holy and hallowed unto God. And they're saying, this is a burden. This is a burden. Who knows Christians today who think having a day for God is a burden? I do. Having a day for God, some people think it's a burden. Some people today would rather do sports or movies than have a day just enjoying God. And you know why that is? I'll tell you why that always is. Look, he says in verse 5, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, the Sabbath is not yours, it's his. And the reason you can't get blessed is because your pleasure, your sports, your movies, you love them more than you love God. That's the truth. That's the truth. When you can't give God one day, it's because you love those other things. And the blessings, those things don't give you blessings. God gives you blessings. The blessings do not come from sports. They are idols. They don't come from movies. I'm not saying that you can't do those things. Far be it. But on the day that God has set aside, it's to be all about him. It's to be all about the worship of him. It's all about the thanksgiving of him. One day out of seven. And as you do that, you get refreshed. Your creative abilities are regenerated every day. I just know this. I know what it is to burn out. You burn out when you ignore God's word and the rest that it can give you and the rest that you need. So we got to ask ourselves, if we don't have a Sabbath, is it because we find more pleasure in the world than our enjoyment of God? Maybe that's the reason I'm stressed. Maybe that's the reason I can't solve my problems, that I've lost my creative capacity because I don't rest in God. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 12. Chapter 12. Chapter 12. And can somebody read from verses 1 to 12? Somebody with a loud voice. Matthew 12, 1 to 12. And then he said, stretch out your hand, and he healed him. And the Pharisees went out and plotted they might destroy him. Isn't that incredible? Why do you think the Pharisees could miss it so badly? Why do you think they got it so wrong there? Why didn't they see the Old Testament and David? Why didn't they see it as Jesus saw it? Yeah. What they didn't understand is that the law is good. God gave the law because he knows he loves us and he knows we need rest. And if you turn to Mark chapter 2, Jesus again talked about the Sabbath. He said, have you never, verse 25, have you never read when David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, and he went into the house of God, the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made. It was made for us. It was made that we could restore and be recreated. It wasn't for us to just legalistic keep laws. Legalistic, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. It was legalism. And the heart of legalism is always that we don't understand God desires mercy and not sacrifice. We think God wants, we please God by making sacrifices. We just doing the Sabbath. But God's heart is all about love and mercy. And what keeps the entire law is what? How do we keep all the law? Through loving God and loving our neighbor. And so here, Jesus acting in love, he's healing a man on the Sabbath. And he's saying, you miss it because you think the Sabbath is about, it's about us just legalistic, keeping a list of rules. But it's a gift of God to meet man's needs, not a rigid, oppressive burden that makes you miserable or proud, one other way. But did Jesus, did Jesus abolish the Sabbath when he spoke of those words? No, he didn't. What did he come to set us free from? Lots of things, but one of the main things he came to free us from is legalism. Legalism. Where we think we just got to keep law, we've got to keep law, we keep law. But that doesn't mean Sabbath is not important. The focus is in this passage that I read is on his mercy and his goodness. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy. And then Jesus did good to the man who fell or the man who had the affliction. Jesus did good to him. So it's not rigid, but God wants us to work out of position of rest. He wants us to work out of his rest. When you take a time to actually come into God's presence and just say, this is a day where I'm not doing what I do on the other 6 days. This is a different day. I'm going to have a walk with you, or I'm going to read and worship you. I'm coming into the house of God to praise you. But this day is different every other day. I'm hallowing this day. Jesus said when in Matthew 11, I think verse 28, he said, all you who labor, what happens when you come to him, when you're heavy burdened and you labor? You labor 6 days. He gives you rest. He gives you rest. He gives you the rest that restores. So it's very, very important. Now, what happens, what is your attitude if you run into one of these lovely Seventh-day Adventist people? Who are very, they're very, I don't know why, but they're very, very adamant that we have to, there's nowhere in the scriptures, if you look, there's nowhere in the scripture where it tells you which day we're to have the Sabbath on. Well, it's a tradition of men, so it's been passed down. But what is your attitude to be when you come across somebody like that? Maybe you come across somebody that says to you, you should be having a Sabbath on a Saturday, not a Sunday. Or you shouldn't drink a glass of wine, ever. And somebody else says, but I'm free. I'm free to have a Sabbath. I'm free to rest. I've just decided to rest on this day of the week. I've made a different day of the week holy, and Sunday is my day. The reality is, Romans 14 speaks about, receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. For who are we to judge another servant to his own master who stands or falls? Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. So it's very, very clear they're having a dispute over a certain day. But you notice Paul didn't take sides. Paul didn't rule on it. But he said that the important thing is, where things are not, they're not the big mountains like salvation. If someone, you know, believes in a pre-millennial rapture, somebody else believes in a post-millennial rapture. Or as I said, somebody else thinks they can eat this certain thing. In Jesus' days, it was all about food eaten to idols. Some people believe you couldn't eat. And some people said, but I'm free. Everything, when I give it to God in thanks, it's sanctified and I can eat anything. And what was happening, those people were free. This is what happens. When you're free and somebody's not free, the tendency is to despise them. And when you're not free and somebody is free, the tendency is to judge them. You got the wrong day. You eat. And God says, those who are free, do not despise those who haven't come into that place of freedom yet. They don't have the revelation that you have. Don't despise them, because it's all about the body. We're all at different stages. And those who are not free, you haven't come into that revelation of the freedom, don't judge those who see things differently. Because that's what causes schism and that's what causes division. So, love the Seventh-day Adventists. Love them. Because why? Love fulfills all the law. Amen? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I believe the SJs are still under so much legalism, because it's not only about the Sabbath, it's about foods you eat and all this sort of stuff, you know, they're all so tied up. But that may be true, but when you relate to them, you know, it's awful to be in a place where you know someone despises you. You can do it politely, but you despise them. In your heart, you're going like, they aren't where I am. They got it all wrong. You know, and there's no grace, there's no love for them. But equally, if you're not in a place and you see someone else doing something, you go like, they shouldn't be doing that. And you come into a place where you become judgmental and say, they shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't do that. They're wrong. I'm right. It's like, well, there are certain things where there's what I call in the scriptures called liberty of conscience. When you have a Holy Spirit revelation that you're free to eat, you eat. But if you haven't had that revelation and you're true to your conscience and you say, I'm not free to eat, you're not wrong before God. Neither is the person who's free to eat. They're not wrong before God. They're just at a different stage of their walk. The key is you do not despise the weak and you don't judge the free. Those who are strong in faith do not despise those who are weak in faith. Those who are weak in faith do not judge those who are strong. That's the whole key to it. But the point is to realize tonight that the Sabbath is made for man. It's God's. It was given to us out of his love and his grace that he knows we need rest. And anyone who thinks it's a burden, you imagine this. Imagine if you were working 7 days a week and somebody come to you and says, I'm going to give you a day off. How could that be a burden? It's a blessing. And it's given to us. It's for us. We're made, the Sabbath is made for us. We're not made for it. We're not made just to keep legalistic laws. But it's important. It's made for us. And what I want to say is in closing, a lot of people that I know, this passage that I first read, it speaks about, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Everybody I know that has financial adequacy, has the blessings of God on their life, they take a day of rest seriously. Believe me, I've seen it. And people that think, I've got to work. That's a faith issue. You need to rest one day a week. It's a faith issue. And you need to understand that the work, the world, the career, it ain't going to make you happy. All goodness, all blessing, everything that is good, God created everything that was good and he rested, comes from God. And that blessing is released to us as we hallow him one day a week and say, oh gosh, I'm just going to come into the house of God and worship you and remember you because you created everything. I'm going to go and walk. I'm going to worship because you delivered me. I can't deliver myself. You've delivered me from death and hell. And you sanctified me. You give me a Holy Spirit. You've made me holy and righteous. I'll stand before you by the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to take a day each week to draw near to you and to honor you and to hallow that day, to treat it as a special day, not an ordinary day like the other 6 days. And as you do that, the blessings of God are released over our life. Released over our life. So we don't despise it. We've got to have a day a week where we cease to do our pleasure, what we want, but we make that day a special day so that we can be restored and we can be blessed.